and it's Maine Things Considered on MPBN Radio. It's 5:30. I'm Nora Flaherty. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Ahead on the program this evening, the state of Maine ends its fiscal year with a surplus of almost $60 million, but it's not just free money. And how President Obama's clean power plan is playing in Maine. Those stories in a moment. First, this news. This is Maine Things Considered on MPBN Radio. I'm Nora Flaherty. Well, here's something interesting. The state of Maine has ended its fiscal year with a surplus of almost $60 million. Some suggest that's a sign of a rebounding economy. State revenues were up almost 7% over a year ago, but as Mal Leary reports, that extra cash is already spoken for.
The budget year ended on June 30th, and Finance Commissioner Richard Rosen says when all is said and done, the state had a revenue surplus of $30 million, along with unspent balances in various accounts that contributed to the overall surplus.
Even after taking into account the May reforecast and the May adjustment, revenues came in strong for the year, and they indicate an underlying strength.
Rosen points out that revenue reprojections during the budget year tend to mask the fact that there has been a year-over-year increase in state revenues of nearly $216 million, or 6.9%. Rosen is particularly pleased that revenues across a broad range of sources increased over the last year. Both the personal and corporate income taxes showed growth, as did the state sales tax, which has been pretty much flat since the recession.
We're seeing taxable sales that have grown at 4.7%, which is clearly the strongest year that we've seen in taxable sale growth since the recession.
Lewiston Democratic Representative Peggy Rotundo, who co-chairs the Appropriations Committee, says she hopes the apparent trend of increased sales tax revenues continues in the new budget year.
One of the areas that I have looked at over the years is sales tax, because I think that that's an indication of how working families in Maine are doing, and I'm pleased to see that that's up.
Both Rotundo and Rosen were on appropriations when the recession hit 6 years ago and saw state revenues fall so dramatically that they were adjusted down nearly monthly. Rotundo says she hopes the growth over the last year is an indication that Maine's economy has finally started to see some real growth.
I hope we are on the road to a fuller recovery, because things have been very difficult for many families in Maine since the recession started.
Rosen points out that in the budget that was passed over Governor Paul LePage's objections and vetoes is a provision that Rosen considers very important. It eliminates the so-called cascade that spent the surplus on projects and programs that had been approved but not funded.
The year-end use of any year-end surplus is now really focused on the Budget Stabilization Fund. So we'll be able to report a balance now in the Budget Stabilization Fund of $111 million. The year-end use of any year-end surplus is now really focused on the Budget Stabilization Fund. So we'll be able to report a balance now in the Budget Stabilization Fund of $111 million.
That account is commonly called the Rainy Day Fund by lawmakers because it is a hedge against future economic downturns. Rosen says that's important to the bond rating firms that urge states to set aside as much as 20% of their yearly revenues. Maine's statutory goal is now 18%, which is a little less than $600 million. The other major use of the surplus is to set aside funds to pay for lowering the state personal income tax rates in the future. The state started that practice last year and has set aside over $9 million for that purpose. For MPBN News, I'm Mal Leary.
You are listening to Maine Things Considered on MPBN Radio. Still to come, how President Obama's clean power plan might impact our region and why it might not have as much impact as some are hoping. First, though, if you've driven on the Maine Turnpike this summer, you've probably run into your fair share of bottlenecks and slow-moving traffic. The Maine Turnpike Authority says that there are a lot more cars and trucks on the highway this year compared to a year ago. As Jay Field reports, steady growth in traffic and toll revenue coincide with promising early numbers on the 2015 tourist season and an overall uptick in Maine's and the nation's economy.
Traffic on the Maine Turnpike began to tick up gradually last September. It's Doug Davidson's job to analyze traffic trends on the highway and look at those patterns in the context of the broader forces driving the economy. Davidson is the Turnpike Authority's chief financial officer and treasurer.
So what I really think is that we're seeing most of the recession traffic coming back.
In June, according to Turnpike Authority data, car traffic in Maine was up by roughly 5.5% over a year ago. Davidson says the authority has also seen a surge in the number of drivers paying cash at toll booths.
Cash payers are the first people to disappear in a recession, and they're usually the first people to reappear when the economy is getting better.
The roadway data also suggests that Maine's tourist season is shaping up to be a strong one. Just try leaving the state on a Sunday afternoon, says Peter Mills, the Turnpike Authority's executive director.
Really quite intense on Sunday afternoons. It has been for years, but it's grown substantially this year.
Over at the Maine Office of Tourism, officials pay close attention to the traffic data that comes out of the Turnpike Authority.
Because we know that the preponderance of our visitors do arrive by vehicle.
And so far this summer, notes Carol Ann Ouellette, many more visitors are coming to Maine and staying overnight than made the trek a year ago. Ouellette, who runs the Maine Office of Tourism, says lodging sales tax receipts in May 2015 were 14% higher than a year earlier. She says restaurant sales tax collection was up nearly 10% over the same period. Ouellette also closely monitors Acadia National Park visits, which in June of 2015 were 5% greater than a year earlier.
We're really excited. We're hoping that it will continue into the fall, which often has been the case. Recently, we've seen some really positive increases in fall visitation as well.
At the Turnpike Authority, Peter Mills says it's not just automobiles that are responsible for the traffic increase. Traffic on the Turnpike, he notes, is up among all classes of vehicles.
It's not just tourism. What surprises me is that the delivery trucks are back. They're delivering goods, hard goods, into the state of Maine.
There's been a spike in freight movements nationwide as well as to the state of Maine.
Brian Park says this uptick, noted in data from the American Trucking Association, is creating some challenges for some of his members. Park runs the Maine Motor Transport Association.
They're having a hard time finding enough truck drivers to move the freight that their customers have asked them to, just from normal economic activity.
But it's not entirely clear whether this uptick in economic activity and turnpike traffic will continue. Consumer confidence in the U.S. has been on a steady upswing in recent months, but it fell sharply in July, leading to worries about how the overall economy will do between now and the end of the year. For MPBN News, I'm Jay Field.
And finally today, as you probably heard, for the first time ever, power plants must limit carbon emissions under a clean power plan released today by the Obama administration. The plan sets a target that by 2030, carbon emissions will be reduced to 30% below 2005 levels. Environment and health advocates across the state are calling the plan the single most important action the U.S. has taken to reduce carbon emissions. But as Patty White reports, there are concerns that Congress may try to undermine the plan.
The U.S. is at the beginning of a 10 to 20 year transition period, says former Maine state economist Charlie Colgan, when demand for fossil fuels to generate electricity will significantly drop.
This rule today will speed that along by quite a bit.
And Maine, says former public advocate Steve Ward, is well on its way toward meeting the Clean Power Plan's goals for 2030.
For the rest of the country, a race is now just getting underway, but we are already in the backstretch of the race because we started back in 2007.
That's when nine states, including Maine, came together to form the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative. REGGIE is a cap-and-trade program that sells emission allowances through auctions, then invests the proceeds in renewable energy. In Maine, funds from REGGIE support Efficiency Maine programs. In 2014, Ward says, Reggie generated more than $10 million for Efficiency Maine.
It's hard to find the money to help Maine get off oil, but we absolutely have to do that. And the fact that there's a source of money that can be deployed for low-income customers, I think, is particularly positive.
The Clean Power Plan includes the Reggie model as an option for other states to tackle carbon emissions. Charlie Colgan says not only does Maine benefit from being ahead of the game, it will also see a shift in its high energy costs compared to the rest of the nation.
The people who have essentially enjoyed the subsidies of using the air to keep their electricity costs low are not going to have that advantage anymore.
The plan also garnered support from the Friends of Maine's Mountains, which opposes wind turbines on the state's peaks. Spokesperson Chris O'Neill says that's because the future of renewable energy is in hydro and biomass sources.
Intermittent, unpredictable sources like wind and solar being deployed somewhat in Maine, but they can't replace or even displace the dirty power plants that the EPA is seeking to close.
Tony Buxton, an Augusta lawyer for the Coalition to Lower Energy Costs and the Industrial Energy Consumer Group, says action on carbon emissions is long overdue from the federal government.
The critical factor is to have intelligent, reasonable, minimally disruptive action that achieves the result. And this plan is quite remarkable in its capacity to achieve result with a minimum amount of disruption.
That's a point that GOP Congressman Bruce Poliquin of Maine isn't sold on just yet. In a written statement, Poliquin says protecting the environment is critical, but government overregulation has led to higher energy prices in Maine, forcing many paper mills to close. Poliquin says he'll continue to review the plan, keeping in mind that any measure of quality of life must include a paycheck. But independent Senator Angus King says the U.S. has to take the lead on clean power.
This is a global issue. China has to get into it. India has to get into it. And there's no way we're going to be able to make them start to make the realistic, hard decisions until we start doing it ourselves. We have 5% of the world's population and we use 25% of the world's energy. And in the long run, that's not sustainable.
The Republican-controlled U.S. Senate is seen as a potential threat to the Clean Power Plan because lawmakers could vote to repeal the rule or change it through amendments. In a statement, Republican Senator Susan Collins says she's pleased that the plan is more flexible than originally proposed and that it allows the use of renewable biomass. But she says she'll review it further to ensure that it creates responsible and realistic regulations to support biomass markets in Maine and other states. For MPBN News, I'm Patty White.
And at 12 minutes before 6 o'clock, it's time to check the weather forecast with meteorologist Paul Jettis.
After a beautiful day across the entire state of Maine, we had an afternoon sea breeze kick in along the coastline, and some showers and storms popped up across the North Country. We'll end up with a mostly cloudy overnight, and there may be some showers and storms popping up across southern sections of the state by early tomorrow morning. We'll have lows in the 60s. Tomorrow, look for a mostly cloudy day statewide. We'll have some scattered showers and thunderstorms, especially into the afternoon. Highs at 72 to 82, coolest temperatures along the north and coast. Wednesday, look for a mostly cloudy day, scattered showers, highs mid-60s to mid-70s. Thursday, mostly sunny with spotty showers for the north and mountains, 65 to 75 north to south. Friday, mostly sunny and cooler, highs 65 to 75 north to south. For the Maine Public Broadcasting Network, I'm meteorologist Paul Jettis.
And that's Maine Things Considered. Thanks today to Keith Shortall and Barbara Caridi. I'm Nora Flaherty.